Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this morning's gospel reading, we hear about two men in very different circumstances. At the beginning of our reading, one of these men is a prisoner and one is free. King Herod was ruler over a large region, including all of Galilee, the region where Jesus grew up and where much of his ministry took place. This Herod was a son of the Herod who had reigned at the time of Jesus' birth. Herod was a powerful man, and Herod was a prisoner. Herod had left his own wife in order to marry his brother's wife. And so we see that Herod was a prisoner of his sinful passions. When John the Baptist had spoken against what Herod had done, Herod had responded by having John arrested in order to silence the criticism. For Herod was a prisoner of pride. And then when Herod publicly offered to give his stepdaughter Salome anything that she wanted, and she asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, Herod didn't want to have John killed, but he still went ahead and knowingly ordered an innocent man's execution. And why did he do it? He was afraid of what the people around him would think if he didn't keep his promise to Salome. And from this we can see that Herod was a prisoner of pride. John the Baptist, on the other hand, began our gospel reading sitting in a prison cell. He'd been there for over a year at that point. And John the Baptist was a free man. Having seen the coming of his Savior, John had the assurance that salvation and everlasting freedom were his. Freedom from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Knowing that he had God's gracious approval, and that in the end that is all that matters, John was set free from having to worry about what people might think or say about him. He was set free from the fear of man. Knowing that by God's grace he had been given a gift of life that would never end, and that no one could take that away from him, John was set free from having to fear what any man, even Herod, could do to him. So by God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we see that John had been set free, and he was free indeed. So at the beginning of our gospel reading, these two men, King Herod and John the Baptist, were in very different situations. King Herod, even as he hosted his luxurious dinner party, was a prisoner to sin and fear. Meanwhile, John the Baptist, even as he sat behind bars, was living in the freedom of God's grace. And at the end of our gospel reading, too, we see that these two men were again in very different situations, as one was dead and one was alive. Enslaved by pride and fear, Herod gave in to Salome's request and presented to her John the Baptist's head on a platter. Herod was dead. Scripture makes plain that real life, real vitality, is found only in connection with the Lord of life. Apart from him, as we read in Ephesians, people are dead in transgressions and sins. With his stubborn persistence in sin, with his lack of repentance, with his unbelief, Herod was keeping himself cut off from the real and lasting life that is found in the Lord and in him alone. And so, even as he concluded his dinner party and continued his political reign, King Herod was, in the most important sense, utterly without life. In comparison, at the end of our reading, John's disciples, his students, came and claimed his body and laid it to rest. Yet John the Baptist was very much alive. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." John the Baptist believed. And so, though he died, he did live. And he continues to live. As we read in 1 John chapter 5, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And so, even as King Herod continued to wear a crown and sit on a throne, at the end of our gospel reading, Herod had no real life in him. He did not have life because he did not have the Son. Meanwhile, even as his disciples laid his body to rest, not only was John the Baptist alive, but you could say that he was, in fact, more alive than ever. He had life because he had the Son. So King Herod and John the Baptist were in very different situations from each other at the beginning and again at the end of our gospel reading. And their differences could be summarized by saying that all along, one of them had everything and one of them had nothing. King Herod was considered one of the wealthiest, most powerful men of his time. Herod had nothing. John the Baptist, on the other hand, had lived a life with very few material comforts. He'd lived for years in the desert, wearing uncomfortable clothes made of camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey. Then he'd been arrested, imprisoned, and finally executed. But all along, John the Baptist had it all. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Herod's heart and life were focused on the kinds of treasures that do not last: material wealth, worldly power, the praise of people. If those are the only kinds of treasure that someone has, then really, they have nothing. John the Baptist's heart and life, on the other hand, were focused on the kinds of treasure that last forever: righteousness and forgiveness, mercy and truth. Ultimately, what he treasured above all was his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ. Whoever has that treasure has everything, and no one can take it away from him. And so in this gospel reading, we hear of two very different men, one of whom, King Herod, was very concerned with wanting people to think that he was great, and the other of whom, John the Baptist, was not really concerned with what people thought about him, but only wanted people to realize how great Jesus is. It was John the Baptist who had said that he was not worthy to even stoop down and untie the sandals of Jesus. It was John the Baptist who had pointed others to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when some of John the Baptist's students had become concerned that Jesus was getting more attention than John was, it was John the Baptist who had said that that was exactly how it should be, and that in fact, that brought him real joy. As John then said about Jesus, "He must increase, and I must decrease." And that is where we see the true greatness of John the Baptist really coming through. Jesus once said that no greater man had ever lived than John the Baptist. And there's much that we can appreciate about John. We can appreciate his selfless love of the Lord, his dedication and willingness to suffer for the faith, his faithfulness to God and his word, even to the point of death. But where do we see John's greatness most clearly? In his humble, selfless trust in the greatness of not himself, but Jesus Christ. John's confidence was not in his own goodness, but in God's grace. And John looked not to his own merit, but to God's mercy. For John's hope was built not on his own accomplishments, but on Jesus Christ. That is where John found his freedom, his life, and his treasure. And that is where he would want all of us to find those things too. As he points us to Jesus Christ and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away all of your sin." And so follow where John points you. Look to Jesus Christ and see that because he has served your sentence on the cross, real and lasting freedom are yours. The Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. Look to Jesus Christ, to his cross and his empty tomb, and see that because Jesus Christ has won the victory for you over sin and death and the devil, everlasting life is yours, and death now has no dominion over you. Look to Jesus Christ and see that because he gave up everything for you, you now have everything you need in him. Forgiveness, life, salvation, treasures in heaven that moth and rust cannot destroy and that thieves cannot break in and steal. Regardless of how much you do or don't have in worldly terms, look to Jesus Christ and see that, just like John, in Christ, you have it all. For all of this, may the name of Jesus Christ be praised now and forevermore. Amen.